Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to take that that prayer again. Take that prayer again and some prayers. The Bible says, the entrance of your word, it gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. He said, the world was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. There is an encounter with the manifestation of God, or an ordination of God, that is the answer and the solution to frustration in life. Whatever the frustration may be. Concerning the people in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said that God had made it so that without us, they will not be perfect. Without us, they will not be perfect. But then hear what the Bible said afterwards. That's in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. Say, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. There is something that God provides for you and for us as individuals, corporately. And just how that thing plays out in the end. Oh Lord, it's targeted to change the narrative of people's life. There is an arrangement that God sets in place that is targeted to change the direction and the narrative of people's life. There is an arrangement and an ordination of God that He sets in place that is targeted to change the direction of people's life. God sets it in place. In the despair and hopelessness, until God sends His word. It is the entrance of the word of God that profits, not the hearing, in quotes. It is the entrance of God's words that profits. When the word of light penetrates into the soul of man, it is at that instant that it gives light. He said, the entrance of your word, it gives light. So many persons do not understand the experience of what it means to say the word of God is light. That is because they do not yet understand the experience of the penetration of God's word. And that is such a glorious encounter. It is not an ordinary thing. It is glorious. It is spectacular. It is supernatural. It is a glorious experience when the word of God enters into a man. It gives him light. You pray, oh Lord, I am here. Maybe some persons are here that do not yet understand what it means to have the word enter into a man, giving him light and direction. Father, today, let your word enter into my heart and let me have direction. Let us pray. Labra hanko shepre helebro hondo sebra labra tekos shepro hondo priyada mandere doroko in the name of Jesus. Can we go and let us appreciate God and speak to him? Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. We'll be speaking very briefly on what we have captioned, Bettered in the Glory. Bettered in the Glory. Bettered in the Glory, or, you know, born in the glory, bettered in the glory, bettered in glory, bettered in the glory. All the same idea. And there's an objective in the heart of God for us to arrive at. There's an understanding we are supposed to achieve by virtue of this divine. We know that every teaching, every moment of speaking or instruction comes with an objective or an understanding to be accomplished or attained. In the theory of information and principles of communication says that there is an intent in the heart of the speaker. The medium of communication is a channel through which the individual or the speaker intends to convey his intention to his listener, so that they can come to the same level and plane of his thinking. They can be lifted up to attain to what his level of thinking is, perspective and understanding, and by so doing, leaving them with change in general, particularly at the place of their understanding. So when we speak and we speak, and generally when there is a speaking and there is a teaching, there is an objective in mind, and it's for the subject matter to be clearly comprehended, apprehended, and assimilated, with the understanding perfectly accomplished in the heart of the individual. So we are looking at better in the glory, and God, and what God would want us to understand, and what the world will have for us to get today, is to understand our citizenship, our citizenry from the glory and in the glory of God. Because of how much, reverence the glory of God invokes in the heart of a dedicated child of God. Sometimes when the glory of God is spoken with, some people tend to understand with the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and they can relate with the grace of God. But when at the other hand, when they say the glory of God was all over the place, it tends to be a concept or an idea that they feel sort of distance from in a way, because the glory of God invokes a kind of dread and awe, and also because of the emphasis rightly that says that the glory of God ought to be given to God, and God will not share his glory with any man. That is entirely true, but there's a difference between the glory of God and the praise of the glory of God. There's a difference between those two things within the school of God's glory. There is the glory of God, and there's the praise of the glory of God. Stands very, very articulately. And if you read through his epistle, you will see he continually says to the praise of his glory. That is the one God will not share. But the expression and the content of his glory he will put upon his children. And that is why Jesus said, the glory you have given to me, I have given it to them. So if you do not understand that light and the school of thought, you will wonder why there is such a contradiction. But there is a difference between the glory of God and the praise of the glory of God. And that praise of God is what you should not dare to touch, because the praise of the glory of God returns to the owner. The praise of the glory returns to the owner. It belongs to God. But the expression of the glory, the stewardship of the glory, the manifestation of the glory of God belongs to the Son. If you read the book of Romans, Paul speaking, he said concerning Pharaoh, he said, I have raised you up that I may show my power in thee. And so Paul began to make comparison and differentiate between two kinds of vessels. And he called one the vessels of wrath, through which the power of God and the splendor of his judgment will be demonstrated. And then the other one, he called them the vessels of mercy, that he would reveal his glory to. And he said that it is an elect, it is not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, it is by the grace of God. Do you understand? And that's where you see he was preaching the doctrine of grace when he said, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and show compassion to thou, I will show compassion, and I will harden it, harden whom I will harden. But he was talking about a predestination of some kinds of vessels that have been predestined to judgment and justice. But the other he referred to as the vessels of mercy, that their destiny, predestination, is to be revelators of God's glory. So if that is not properly understood, you will not put your glory, the understanding of your glory is not properly in context, because you would not know what is the manifestation of the glory of God in your life, and the portion and the business of the glory that you should not tamper to touch. For instance, we see that demonstration of the glory through the life of the apostle Peter, where the Bible says that there was so much revelation of God's glory and power through him that people put up sick people so that if by any chance his shadow will cast over them. And even Paul the apostle, his clothes were used to cast out devils. I mean, he had this grace from God so much that if you take Paul's, what Paul has put on, or any handkerchief he speaks on, or a blessed intentional, or anything that is an apparel or piece of clothing that Paul has encountered or somehow has had a touch, an impact, a contact, I beg your pardon, with the Apostle Paul, and you travel with it wherever, anywhere it comes in contact with a demon or an affliction, a miracle will occur because it came in contact with Paul, the Apostle. Now, that is the revelation of God's glory. For the sake of that operation, there is the praise of the glory. The praise of the glory is what God intends to reap when he sows his glory. So, that manifestation, and every time where there's a demonstration of the glory of God, there is always the reaping of the praise of God's glory. And that is what is the Lord's. That's why you say, you see, he said that my glory I will not give to another, neither will I share my praise. Do you understand? So that our understanding of the glory in that direction is being put into context at this moment in time. Let me read that passage for us very quickly so that we can see what that place is. 42 verse 8. Say, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. If you understand the laws of principle and the poetry of the poetic nature of Jewish literature, you understand there's a law of double speak, where the author speaks of the same thing, but in two different ways, and they use two different kind of speaking to refer to the same thing. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So you see that wherever there is the glory of God, his praise is somehow connected to it. And that's why you see Paul will articulate it properly. Or is connected to the revelation of his glory. And that's why you see where there is the revelation of God's glory, his praise follows. Sequence in the visions of the prophets, that the angels continually praise him and sing and worship him and bow down to worship, because there's a continual expression and manifestation of his glory in their presence. Let me say that again. The angels continually worship and praise him because there is a continual manifestation of his glory in their presence, which inevitably gives birth to or produces the constant harvest of praise in heaven because the glory of God tabernacles. So that this the understanding must be properly cleared and put in proper perspective. So that when they talk about the glory of God, you won't see it more like a detached kind of thing, or something that does not concern you, or something that is far from you because you are afraid to touch the glory. Of course, you should be sensitive around the glory of God. But the glory of God is actually an inheritance that you have in Christ. Remember, the Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. So there is an intention in the arrangement and plan of God for our life that we should be in hope for the glory. these people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Some translation will say, they shall show forth my glory. Others will say, they will make known my praise. How are they going to declare his praise? It is through his glory. So, we are going to be looking at embedded in the glory. And this generation must properly understand that for they are a people, they are a generation of God's glory. They are to carry the glory of God, walk with it, steward it, understand its operation, its administration, understand the laws and the principles of the glory, the mysteries of the glory, the operations of the glory, the dynamics of the glory, and the government of the glory. They are to understand the law and the life and the spirit of the glory, the spirit, truth, and life of the glory. The glory will be radiating from even their eyeballs. They are to be so adept, so immersed, so absorbed, consumed, so donated to the things of the glory of God that they cannot help but always speak continually about the glory. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that in his temple that everyone speaks of his glory. Some translations say in his temple they cry glory. Must understand, must comprehend, must have insight into the operations and the manifestation of the glory. How to live in it, how to walk in it, how to make it your life every day. This is that generation that will live and move and exist in the glory. The glory is theirs to walk with. The glory is theirs to operate with. The glory is theirs to live with, to live by, to dwell with, to tabernacle with. The glory is their in Christ. The glory belongs to them. He says, the wise, they shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. That's Proverbs. The wise, there is an inheritance of glory that awaits a whole people. This generation is to walk in that consciousness of the glory, a cloud of the presence, the tabernacle anointing, the tent anointing of the Spirit. Walking in that glory, in that light, in the precious things. The glory belongs to the glory belongs to them in Christ. They are possessors of the glory of God. That is, the glory is theirs in Christ. They keep it, it is assigned to them as an inheritance. Glory to God. So we are going to look at bettered in the glory, so that you understand your origin, your design. Father, we give you praise. We give you all the glory. Blessed be your holy name. Worship you. Malabra hakasukele brekete kele breke sukata brahanda la brakasukele brekete kete kete. Father, we worship you. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, precious name, we are. We are going to begin with a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at quite a number of scriptures to address this point, or to give us more insight and light into this understanding and this revelation. We will be looking at the book of, we'll begin at the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus 33 and verse, we'll begin Exodus 33 verse 7. I wanted to read from another translation. And Moses took his tent, the other translation says tabernacle, and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting which was outside the camp. Now, this is a very glorious thing. Before this time, the tabernacle that God had instructed had not yet been built. These were the times where the building of the tabernacle will start. But since God's temple was not ready yet, Moses' temple had to be or devoted to becoming a presence or a tabernacle of presence where the glory of God will be housed until the tabernacle of God's glory was ready. So Moses gave accommodation to the glory. Moses was hosting the glory. He said he took his own tent and pitched it out. And that is one thing that we will have to talk about. He said, and he called it the tabernacle of meeting. And it came to pass, everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. So Moses consecrated his own house, his own dwelling place, and made it to be the tabernacle of God's presence. This is so interesting. And he said, he went further to say that went out to the tabernacle, that the people rose, each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. They all had their own tent, but Moses gave his own tent to host God. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. So the glory of God will manifest, and you will interact with God in the glory. You will interact with the glory, and the people will watch. And all the people saw the people, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. They were worshiping God from afar inside their own tent. But here is a man that had given his own tent, he has given his own tent as an instrument, as a vessel to host the presence of God. I said, and it came to pass when he entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But hear what he said. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Wow. That's verse 11. Let's look at how other translations will render that portion of scripture when this particular translation says does not depart. Let's look at what International Standard Version says. It says, the Lord will speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks with his friend. When Moses returned to the camp, Nun's son Joshua, his young servant, would not leave the tent. This translation, which is a Easy English, said that says Joshua the son of Nun stayed in the tent. Bible basically said that the son of Nun did not come away from the tent. The New Living Translation puts it this way concerning the son of Nun, that the son of Nun, Joshua the son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of meeting. That is excellent. That's amazing. We have heard the word already, and we continue to hear it, that this generation, some people have called this generation by name and says, are destined to possess inheritances that God has spoken to the fathers about. Because it was Joshua who led the people of God, or it was in Joshua's generation, possess the promises of God. And there are so many promises that God has given to the fathers, my God. There are two promises that God had promised the fathers. And also, as you can see in the scriptures, it was the generation of Joshua that possessed the promises. And so God has spoken particularly to the prophets, and it has been rightly named. So many of us that have been following teachings of fathers who have heard that we are in the generation of Joshua. The renowned prophet, Prophet Jim Gall, had an encounter. He was preparing for a meeting in a city in the United States, and there was a storm that was so terrible that he was to travel for a meeting, but there was a storm that was so terrible, and he was in the airport, somewhere in the hotel room, but just around the airport, I believe, with a friend. And they couldn't go anywhere because all flights were grounded because of the weather. It was a storm. And in that condition, there was a pregnant woman who was in the storm, and she was in labor to give birth. So in that kind of arrangement, where there was a storm, wind, all manner of the weather, just a storm ongoing, the woman was in labor, and eventually she gave birth to a son, to a baby boy, and she called the name of the boy Joshua. So the media outlets that were reporting the storm, now, captioned the storm the Joshua storm. So when they were reporting the news, they were calling that storm the Joshua storm. The way you hear of Hurricane Katrina and all that, they were calling the storm the Joshua storm. So God spoke to him, the prophet there, that the Joshua generation is born. It's going to be a birth of a Joshua generation, and that there will be like a storm. They will take the world by storm. Just related to that, I'm trying to paraphrase. So, and that was just more like a prophetic signal to give him understanding. So that's one generation. That is apart from the mysteries and the insight that God has by grace given us access to also see, that some of which have not been spoken, have been sealed up until this time, waiting for the grace of God to make them known generally or publicly. So you see that there's a generation rightly called the Joshua generation, and we are in that generation, and we are all part of that generation. We form it. I can't even begin to tell you some of the encounters we have had many years ago, a couple of years back, but we are in that generation. And the generation of Joshua is the people that leads the generation, or the generation that possesses the promises of God. And if you are paying attention to the world that is going on within the body of Christ, or within the things of God, you see the emphasis on possessing promises and walking in the reality of promises and walking in things that the fathers have been told and God had continually spoken about through his servants. The emphasis that these things have ought now to be possessed. A manifestation and operation of the generation of Joshua that possess the promises. But you can see Joshua's upbringing, because Joshua didn't just start. Joshua served the fathers. Joshua served with the fathers. But you could see his beginning, that when Moses would dedicate his own tent to become the glory tabernacle, or to become the tabernacle of the glory, Joshua would abandon his own tent and live inside the glory. So that when God gives Moses a word and he has to leave his tent to return into the camp, so that
he could give the people the word or settle one or two things over the course of instruction and administration and coordination, Joshua will not follow Moses out. The Bible says he will not leave the tabernacle. There's something about Joshua and the glory of God. Believe, he was the servant of Moses. I mean, if you have a boss and your boss is moving, you're supposed to be with him as a protocol, as an assistant, as a minister, as a personal assistant. But for the first time, we will see that Joshua will choose the glory over Moses. And when Moses steps out of the tabernacle, Joshua will not agree to leave the tabernacle. He will stay inside that glory that Moses will speak to God face to face, not because he was interacting with God directly, but he loved to be around. There was something about him that would rather be in the place where God's glory lived than to return to the tent and dwell with men, return to the camp and dwell with men. There was something about Joshua that was about God's glory. And he would rather remain in that presence than return to the camp to be in the midst of men. He would dwell inside of the glory. He will not leave. That individual is a person of the glory. We have seen the mighty works, the acts of Joshua. I mean, he, under his leadership, 31 kings were slain. Under Moses' leadership, two renowned kings were slain, Og of Bashan and Sihon, the king of Heshbon. But Joshua took it to another level and slew 31. Can you believe that? We know of his exploits of bringing down the wall of Jericho with just a shout. If you read his wars and how he was able to conquer nations, even when about the matter of the Gibeonites, when the Gibeonites were under attack by certain nations because they had gone to make allegiance with the Israelites and submitted themselves, they were the kings confederated against the nation of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. He brought all of them down. And he brought them to a place and put his legs on their neck and asked the young men to come and slay them. He said, "This is what God will do to all the kings that are ahead of you." We know about those exploits and works of Joshua. I remember he was called a young man, but that was his upbringing, because these were just the early days of leaving Egypt. It was in it about his first year or thereabout. Because remember, the period between Exodus and Deuteronomy is a period of 40 years. So, because you can read the book in a day, that the history there spans a period of 40 years. So that's why you see they were calling him a young man. He was a young man. It was the issue at about that time when they went to inspect the land of Canaan. He was about 40 years. Caleb was 45. So he was a young man at about this time. But do you see his upbringing? Joshua will not leave the tabernacle. He loved the glory. He was obsessed with the glory. He was addicted to the glory. He just wanted to be where the glory was. He would not leave. He would not step out of the glory. He was a person of the glory of God. That is the identity of this generation. If they are rightly so named, the Joshua generation, they are a generation of the glory of God. That will not trade the glory of God for, I mean, they so love it, they make it their life every day. That is a generation that was raised inside of the glory. He grew up knowing the glory of God. He grew up inside of the glory. That is a generation of the glory. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 1,
verse 3. He said, God who at various times, let's start from verse 1. God who at various times and various ways, King James will say sundry times, and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3 said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. He being the brightness of his glory. That is, he was the expression and the revelation of the glory of God. Let's look at chapter 2 and then in verse 10. Let's read from verse 9. He said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Now look at what he begins to say here. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation. Now, there's something about Christ's mission in the earth. His assignment was to bring many sons to glory. Some persons see the phrase call to glory as being used to mean something when there's a demise or somebody has passed on. But Christ's revelation was a call from God to his glory. The experience of the glory is not supposed to begin at the point of the afterlife. It's supposed to begin at the point where Christ begins to become revealed in you, or when somebody has genuine contact with Christ by giving him his life, or at the place of being reborn. He said there's such an assignment of Jesus Christ to those who come to him. He's supposed to make them to be about the glory. He's supposed to bring them to be individuals, men and women, boys and girls of God's glory. There's going to be this refire in the heart of men. And this is one of the things that we should particularly spearhead. This fire in the heart of men, the passion. And it's going to start with young people, teenagers. And I don't know who we are speaking to here, but God has called you to a ministry of imparting teenagers and an assignment to teenagers. Part of what you should do is to awaken in them a fire, a passion for the glory of God that drives them to pray, drives them to weep in God's presence, drives them to fast, drives them to study God's words, drives them to tarry in the presence, because there's just this fire in their heart to just a longing for the glory of God. It's going to be something that is going to be occurring, because there is that revival that is going to go out into all the earth. A revival of the glory of passion for the glory of God in the heart of men. Father, we give you praise. Amen. In the heart of young people, teenagers, that will be born inside, they will be baptized into a kind of passion and longing for the glory of God. It's going to burn like an unquenchable desire in their heart. And I'm saying this to people who God has called into that things ministry. God gives you
a group of people you are watching over, like a mentor, and you hold just meetings and have contact with them. There is a mandate, there's a mandate upon your life and an assignment, a task for you to accomplish in them, to awaken a fresh hunger for the glory of God, passion for that glory. The assignment of Jesus Christ was to bring sons into the glory. So, what does God want us to know? And that is just the crux of the word tonight. That you are a person of God's glory. You are a generation. It's what you should be all about. See, is the identity of glory. Glory is to be your identity. You are a citizen of the glory. A person and a people of the glory. The glory is what you are about. A generation of the glory. Rightly so, they have said, this is the generation of Joshua. But even so, the Joshua generation is a generation that is particularly passionate and hungry for the glory of God. They will not leave the glory. It's as though something will happen to them if they leave that presence. They will not leave where the glory is. They will make it their daily life. They will make it their everyday life. Everything about them is all about God's glory. They want to stay inside. They want to see it. They want to experience it. Today and tonight, I see a fresh fire catching in people's heart for passion and love for the revelation of God's glory, and pursued power and zeal in that direction. David said, "O Lord, thou art my God, only will I see." Flesh, he longs for thee. In a dry and in a thirsty life, I want to see your power and your glory. So my presence is not really. Today, that fire catches in your heart to burn to see the glory of God. You can see. Let's go ahead. I want to see your power. There is this fire that will catch upon people this evening and will begin to catch in the burn in their lives. A passion for God's glory. A desire, a longing to dwell in the tabernacle, to tarry with God, to dwell in the secret place. It's not just locking yourself up in a room. It's locking yourself up in a life. Locking yourself up in a lifestyle. Locking yourself up in a kind of living, locking yourself up in a lifestyle is going to catch in people's heart tonight. It's going to be set aflame, a passion, a burning passion for the glory. My soul thirsted for thee, even my flesh. I'm in a dry and in a thirsty land. There's no water. But yet, you see, he was in a dry and in a thirsty land, but his thirsty was not for water. It was for the glory. Where you'll be going through conditions and situations in life, you all manner of things happening to you, yet you don't care about your present suffering. What you are passionate about is still the glory. I don't have this, I don't have that, these things are not in place yet, but still, Lord, is your glory I ask for. And every day your cry, Lord, let me see your glory. Show me your glory, that I may see your glory, that I may see your glory every day, every now, every day. Ego, Lord, let me see your glory, because the glory are so consumed. Your heart, you can't see anything again. That flame, Lord, let that flame catch. Lehoro takasike lebranda na baruka sike lebregedia. Indra la bakasuke lebregedia. Lord, let that flame catch in the hearts of these people. Le protokosi paradata la brata kalabrama kasuke lebregedia. Let that flame, O Lord, catch. Male prokosu prata kata. As flame, O Lord, to a dry stubble, to a dry wood, Lord, the same way as flame catches a dry wood, Lord, let this flame catch in their hearts. Ile korashi kalabrakata 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 lebrekete ripa kate lebrekete rata kasi brekete. As flame will catch a dry hill, O Lord, let this fire catch in their hearts, O Lord. Le corata sike tumbra hala berikosu prada galaba le peke. Let it catch in their heart, those who have been victims of convenience seeking or lukewarmness or indifference, apathy. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let this flame catch in their hearts. Le corata kasi preteke le pregete le pregete li poroto kose balagadaka le pregete. Let them not be able to retain it. Let them not be able to recover from it. Let this flame catch in their hearts, O Lord. Let Musindra la Bakaso Koru Panda la Brakadia, Le Pranda de Brohosh Kendra la Baba, Le Peketeke de Peketika, La Brohom Dorete Kesundra la Bakasketo Predege, Rapankete Ripande Protoko Sekle Premeke, Rapande Le Brande Bosendra de Bahundre de Behunterebe, Lem Protoko Sindra la Bahinke Superede, Mete Peteke Sute Pelegete, Mantre le Peke. Let this flame catch. Where you will not be able to ask for anything, first the glory. No food yet, no this, but first your power and your glory, O Lord. Your power and your glory. The Bible says Moses will step out of the tent to do something outside the camp, but Joshua will remain inside. Where you will tarry in that presence, you will be locked up inside God. Forever, you will tarry in that presence. This will happen, this will come, but yet you will still remain there. You will step out to your office, you will still be inside the glory. You step out into the classroom, you will still be inside the glory. Lecture is ongoing, you will be inside the glory. You are by the street side walking, then you are inside the glory. In the marketplace, you are inside the glory. You are in the barber shop, you are inside the glory. You are in the midst of company, you are inside the glory. You are eating, you are inside the glory. Every day of your life, you are inside the glory. You are having a shower, you are inside the glory. You are talking to somebody, you are inside the glory. You haven't seen a movie, you are still inside the glory. Your life becomes a continuation of experience with the glory of God, with the light of the glory, with the glory of God. Everything about there's going to be that spread of fire. It's the burning fire of God's glory. I see that it's catching up some persons. Just some persons are having that experience as though something is rising from their feet upward, as if something is consuming them. You know the way when somebody, water begins to build, like in the visions of Ezekiel, where the water started from his ankle to his knee to his thigh, and then it overwhelmed him. There's that gradual build of fire from the ankle all the way upward. It's good. To consume your entire until it just swallows you up. It's an immersion to a flame. Everything about you should be about the glory. My God, the glory of God. Tonight, the word of God, God has come by his word to make your destiny clear to you. God has come by the vehicle and the means of his word to make your destiny clear to you, that you are about the glory. This thing that you have been called to do, you are certainly truly a part of the glory of God. Look at your fathers. Look at the one you have been designed to look like. Joshua, of course, his life from the beginning of his days was the glory of God. So also your life continually should be about God's glory.
He loved the glory so much. He loved the glory so much that when they moved into the land, the place where they built, where they set up the tabernacle, was also the place of his own inheritance. He still lived with the glory till the end of his life. That's why I see the priesthood was happening in Shiloh. Oh my God. There's this fire that will catch in people's hearts. A burning passion, an awakening to the glory of God. The fire of God's glory. And you will live in it. You will walk in it. It will be a part of your life. In Jesus' name. Father, let me give you prayer. Let's go ahead and appreciate you. Labra, that we share to you. In Jesus' most precious name.
Amen.
So it will take effect soon, as it has already in people's life. And for those of us who the word of God is trying first, I decree that before it fully comes into fruition, we say until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. That your trying of the word concerning will not be long. In Jesus' name.